This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Lilo, award-winning designers of the world's best pleasure objects.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I want to get right to it and give you a taste of what today's show is all about.
I want you. Is there anything sexier than hearing those three little words spoken by someone who you want right back? I want you to come home with me, says your date, leaning across the restaurant table to give you an electric touch on your thigh. Your phone lights up with a message. I want you inside me tonight. Your partner's face fills up your computer screen and stares deep into your eyes. When he speaks, you feel like he is whispering in your ear, even though he is hundreds of miles away. He says, I need to rip your clothes off. I'm so fucking horny for you. I have designs on your body. Whether you're in the same room or mediated by a computer, this kind of fantastic dirty talk has the power to turn you on, get you off, and bring you and your partner closer together. For almost 10 years, it's been my job to communicate about sex. I've coached private clients about their kinky fantasies and directed hardcore indie porn. I've published queer erotica, written nonfiction articles on sexual subcultures, and spoken to lecture halls filled with curious students. On my podcast, Why Are People Into That?, my guests and I chat explicitly about everything from exhibitionism to spanking to anal play. For me, sex and verbal communication are inextricably intertwined. Language brings us together. Words create romantic poetry and essential boundaries, diffusing conflict and promoting understanding. Dirty talk is a powerful tool and an exciting toy for generating attraction and connection between people. Sometimes the best kind of language is wordless. It exists in a glance, a pose, or a perfectly composed image. Communication in our modern digital world, a culture of computers, devices, apps, and cameras, can be overwhelming. New methods for exchanging virtual messages seem to crop up every week. In this age, you can hit the dating world after a few short years of a monogamous relationship, only to feel like everyone is fluent in a dialect you didn't even know existed. However, the point of technology is to bring us together, not tear us apart. We need to make each new development work for us rather than leave us behind.
That was Tina Horn, my guest today. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, Tina.
Oh, Tristan, thank you for having me back.
That was a great way to, you know, kick things off with your sexy, deep voice.
Okay. I can't help it. Okay. I just can't help myself.
So let me tell people who you are, remind people. Tina Horn is a writer, educator, interdisciplinary media maker, queer punk, and true karaoke believer. Currently, she produces and hosts Why Are People Into That?, a popular podcast that demystifies desire. She is the author of Love Not Given Lightly, a collection of nonfiction stories about Bay Area sex workers, and a new guide to dirty digital ethics and etiquette called Sexting. Tina holds an MFA in creative nonfiction writing from Sarah Lawrence College and is a Lambda Literary Fellow. She is also the creative director of the sex culture-focused imprint 3L Media. So this new book, Tina, is fantastic. The subtitle of Sexting is The Grown-Up's Little Book of Sex Tips for Getting Dirty Digitally. And it really covers like a wide range of things. I mean, we've got dirty talk, sexting, digital hookups, sexy selfies, homemade porn, online dating. You're covering, you know, it's like a kind of a roadmap to all the new ways that we can use all these technologies to connect, like you said in your opening.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's talk about dirty talk first, because, I mean, I've said this before. If anyone's ever watched any Tina Horn porn, they know that you're an incredible dirty talker.
Oh, thank you, Tristan.
Really good dirty talker.
That's like Baryshnikov telling you you're a good dancer.
That's sweet. You're sweet. This is something that people are really titillated by, really turned on by, and yet really freaks them out. Like, people get very shut down when you say, hey, like, you know, do you want to talk dirty to me? So where does the average person who might be feeling like, I want to do this, but I'm totally scared, where do they begin?
That's a great question. Like, we were at the Pleasure Chest last night, and there's like so many things you can buy and so many different things that you can do in terms of sex, in terms of kink, in terms of relationships and love. And dirty talk is a thing that you, I mean, it's very affordable. It's a very affordable way to spice up your relationship. It's all about your imagination. It's all about your communication style. It's all about your dynamic with your partner or partners. And you don't need to buy anything to do it. And you can read up on it, and you can read my book, and you can get a lot of advice, but really it just comes down to you. So that's probably what freaks people out about it, right? You can't like lean on your gear. And you kind of are revealing something that might be scary to reveal about your desire or your identity or any number of things. And I've been teaching dirty talk classes for over 5 years. And the number one thing that people say is, I don't know what to say. And I really think people do know what to say. And they just need a little bit of permission and confidence and practice, right? Because we don't get a lot of opportunity to practice
this particular form of communication. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Right.
That's
like
right.
We get to practice communicating with people every day, but
right.
not in this milieu or something.
Right, right. So I would encourage people to practice more. And my approach, being a literary type person, is to really break it down to parts of speech and to have a little notebook and do a little exercise with yourself where you actually write down your yes, no, maybe list of words that you really love, that really turn you on, words that you could kind of take or leave depending on the circumstance, and words that are boundary for you, an absolute no, maybe a trigger, maybe just doesn't turn you on. And I encourage people to think about parts of the body, right? So nouns, you know, that describe your anatomy, or maybe clothes, or maybe, you know, other sexually related nouns like props or gear. And so like cunt, pussy, butthole, foot, neck, lips, belly button, you know, and then like boots, heels, leather, dildo, you know, so nouns like that, which again, yes, no, maybe, which ones you like, which ones you don't, and realize that you're developing a style and that it's a matter of taste. And then verbs, dirty activities, so whether that's fuck or pound or screw or suck or lick or come or scream or beg, you know, things that you like to do and words that you like to describe them. And then dirty adjectives, which often you'll find describe the, you know, dirty adjectives that describe the nouns that you like and dirty adverbs that describe the verbs that you like. So oftentimes the dirty adjectives will describe arousal in the body, right? So wet, cunt, hard cock, hungry butthole, red lips, and then yeah, your eyebrows are going nuts, Tristan.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Okay, you guys can't see it, but we're here in the studio and we're together live, and yeah,
and then maybe adverbs to describe the verbs, like hard, or maybe like superlative, like harder, quit, you know,
Faster.
Thank you. Yes.
Deeper.
Deeper. Thank you. Yes.
Longer. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when you start to really break it down to those elements, and then those are the things to be corny about it, that are those words are in your like language toolkit that you're like bringing into your like sexual adventures, right? So if you often find that you don't know what to say, really starting simple and just being like, I have a manageable goal that like at some point during my date tonight, I am going to incorporate the word. Let's think of one that we haven't said already. What's one of your favorite dirty words for anatomy, Tristan?
Did you say pussy yet?
I probably did.
Okay. Cause pussy, I mean, I love that word. I love
me
pussy.
Me too.
So let's just say it's pussy.
Yeah. So you're like, I'm going to say pussy at some point. I'm going to incorporate that. And I do also have suggestions for like different types of sentences, but I don't know if you want to get to that.
Yeah,
later.
No, we're going to get to that for sure. But no, this is all really good sort of concrete information, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's what people want. And like you said, it's permission giving, right?
Right.
To say something, to be corny, and also even to say cliches.
I mean, yeah.
A total porno trope said to me in the right moment, in the right context, I don't think, oh my God, that's such a trope. I'm into it, right?
No way, of course. And that goes for sexting too. You know, the probably number one like phone sex trope is, what are you wearing? Mm-hmm. But like if somebody that I am into texts me, what are you wearing? Most of the time, I'm not going to say, oh God, can you be like a little bit more creative than that? I'm going to be like, well, like I'm wearing those like boxer briefs that you like. I'm wearing sweatpants. I mean, right now,
you know, you're wearing a cut up Johnny Blaze's shirt, actually, which is pretty sexy. It's a pretty good shirt. It's a pretty good shirt. Okay, we've got to take our first commercial break. One of the things that's super exciting about one of our sponsors, Lilo, is that they have just announced recently that they've launched a new condom. It's not available yet, but there's a lot of information and there's a website, lilocondoms.com, and it's going to change the world of condoms. So I'm super excited that they've gone beyond their amazing sex toys to this other tool that we use in our sex lives that's really important. So you should check that out. And coming up next, we are going to talk more about dirty talk, because there's never enough dirty talk, and sexting and thoughts about technology and sexuality with Tina Horn. So don't go anywhere. For years now, the Swedish-based designer brand Lilo has been at the forefront of pleasure product technology. Lilo's first product changed the way the adult industry thought about sex toy design upon its original release. With its sleek lines, its graceful shape, and its incredible performance, it was as much a piece of art as it was a pleasure product. Suddenly, Lilo had made it possible to perfectly blend form and function, and they continue to release groundbreaking products year after year. Since then, Lilo has only enhanced their reputation for quality and beauty, and now they lead the luxury industry thanks to a long heritage of innovation. Lilo is the hallmark of personal, intimate pleasure. Lilo is indulgent, sophisticated, elegant, and above all, intensely satisfying. Visit Lilo.com today to start exploring a new sensuality.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen. There is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, The Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
No fluff, no lies, just real women talking real sex.
I am so bruised on my girl bits.
Sex gets real.
Sex gets so real.
So real up in here.
A weekly podcast with Dawn.
I just masturbated.
And Dylan.
Let's talk about the elusive clit.
Check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and at sexgetsreal.com.
Cock rings.
Cock rings.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. My guest today is Tina Horn, talking about her new book, Sexting, the Grown-Up's Little Book for Sex Tips for Getting Dirty Digitally. It's a fantastic book, and I actually just saw her present a workshop based on the book at the Pleasure Chest in Los Angeles. This is a pre-recorded show, so it was a couple weeks ago, but it was a really fabulous workshop, and we're gonna talk about that too. But first, I want to remind you that you can come see me this summer in July 22nd to 23rd. I'm going to be in Dallas, Texas, and I'm going to keynote at Designer Relationships, which is a symposium put on by Poly Dallas Millennium. Tickets are available now. Go to polydallasmillennium.com for more information. And then a couple weeks later, August 4th and 5th, I'm going to head to DC to Woodhull's Sexual Freedom Summit. You've got to check this out online, because there's like amazing presenters and presentations and different tracks, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And in the 2 days before the conference, I'm doing two pre-cons, my Sex Educator Bootcamp Level 2 and 3. We will tweet out those links, or you can just go to puckerup.com and click on tour and see how to register for those classes. So I hope to see some of you there. Okay, so Tina, we were talking before the break about kind of breaking down dirty talk and how to sort of get people to, you know, begin and start and think about these words. And you have a lot of those tips in the book, like a lot of tips about how to like keep a little journal and talk dirty to yourself. Okay, yes. That was something I learned in your book, which I thought was so amazing. Talk dirty to yourself while you masturbate.
Yeah, I have to credit Carol Queen for putting that idea in my head in Exhibitionism for the Shy, which was a huge influence on me and my writing in general, and definitely on this book. So if people like my book and they want something else, I'm happy to endorse Exhibitionism for the Shy. But I tried to also take that to the next level and think about how you can use technology to dirty talk, masturbate, right? Like basically like the solo version of dirty communication, because we don't necessarily think about it this way, but we're communicating with ourselves,
of course,
all the time. And frankly, a lot of the communication that we do with ourselves about sex is anxiety.
Is negative talk.
Yeah. And shame and embarrassment, maybe not like the sexy kind of embarrassment. And so I think like talking dirty to yourself is just in the same way that solo play masturbation helps you to understand your own erotic responses, what you like, and also to feel like, you know, that you love yourself and that you can take care of yourself and that you don't have to depend on other people. all the time to bring you that kind of attention and satisfaction. I think it's a really great way to then feel more comfortable and confident knowing what you like and bringing that into your sex life with other people.
Yeah, I love that idea. I really love that idea. I'm wondering just what your thoughts are, because you touched on this in your introduction, which you read in the first segment. I think that some people think we're in an age of technology now where we've sort of degraded the communication process. It's all swipe left, swipe right. And so I just am wondering about your thoughts on technology and sexuality, like what it means to connect in this day and age, the pros, the cons, how do we use it responsibly and sort of to our advantage? And is it ultimately a good thing that we have all this technology at our disposal?
I think that the way that we have to think about it is that all this technology is our tools for deeper connection. And as long as we approach our personal relationships with our phones, with our computers, with the hardware, with the software, wherever it goes in our lifetimes and beyond, as long as we approach it where our objective is deeper connections with other people and also better self-knowledge, going back to what we were just saying, I think we're going to be fine. Society is going to be fine. We can all just take a chill pill about it. Like, I am somebody who read too much / just the right amount of prophetic science fiction growing up and continue to. But so I'm very skeptical about, I'm a total Scully about new technology. I'm like, you know, it takes me, I'm a slow adapter.
Yeah, but you said last night you had a flip phone until 2012 or something.
Four, 2014. Yeah, I'm a slow adapter, which kind of is a funny joke about me writing a book about technology. But I do think that it has made me a good candidate for it, because I'm able to be, I think, a good ambassador between generations. I'm like straddling millennial and Generation X, right? So mm-hmm. I mean communication is my thing, and so I do like to try to like promote and cultivate understanding between all kinds of people who are having trouble with that. And I think that different generations is, that's with, when it comes to technology, I mean, it's like a class, I mean, it's a classic communication breakdown, right? Mm-hmm, between mm-hmm. generations. So I think that if we understand that whether you're using a kind of technology that has been around for 10 years, like Skype's been around for 10 years, mm-hmm. right? At least, right? So at this point, I think even like folks who are in their like 70s now, like understand that they can like Skype with their grandchildren, like across the country. It's not like, what? You know, like they get it. They can probably even do it.
FaceTime. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But they might not understand Snapchat. And frankly, I do understand it, but I don't. Folks who are like 2 years younger than me, it's like they're fluent in that language or that dialect. And mm-hmm. so of Snapchat, and you know, all the time, like new things are coming up. So I think that instead of being distracted by the ways that superficially all of these things are different, we need to really think about like, what is our objective in using them? And that we need to use the hardware and software so it doesn't use us.
That's a really nice summary, isn't it? That's,
I mean, good. It's also paranoid science fiction brain, like at work. You know, I'm just trying to like, you know, anticipate our robot overlords.
Okay.
Like, and have us all like understand how to sext so that we can undermine them. Anyway, I need to work on that screenplay, but next time I'm on, I'll be talking about.
Well, one thing I noticed too about your workshop last night at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood, it was a great crowd. And it felt like once you start doing these interactive exercises with people, and it felt like people got real warmed up.
Totally.
And then they were actually chomping at the bit to talk dirty.
They were.
In public with strangers.
And they're howling with laughter.
Yes.
And just, yeah.
So I.
But not like, not nervous laughter or like making fun of themselves or each other, but like the laughter of sort of like joy and ecstasy and comfort and excitement. I mean, we were talking about some people had just got up and left and we weren't offended by that. It was like, well, they had to.
I'm convinced this couple that was sitting in front of me and Al Chase, I was there with Al Chase. They were whispering to each other. They were giving each other glances. There was like naughtiness. There was like exchanges of looks. And then they got up and it seemed like they had gotten enough out of the workshop. They didn't need to stay for more. They were like, we're going to go now and dirty talk in the privacy of our own home or something like that.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I've done sort of like experiential learning exercises and like improv games in my workshops before. But I've really found that this sort of like fill in the blank thing really just works really well. And the, you know, example sentences are in the book. So anybody can do them at home as many times as they want for fun, for sexiness, as an exercise to figure out like what words are on your yes, no, maybe list. Mm-hmm. And also what kinds of sentences and what kinds of sentiments would be on your yes, no, maybe list. But, you know, I'm very comfortable speaking in an X-rated manner in front of strangers. Mm-hmm. And it's always a delight to me to see like how liberating it is, how much people light up when, like you were saying, when they're given permission to say those words. And I always kind of figure if you've had the experience of saying like, stick it in me, daddy, or whatever, like in front of, you know, a bunch of strangers, then hopefully you feel comfortable like sending it sending like a personalized version of that in a text or saying it to someone like as foreplay in the heat of the moment, like as pillow talk, like, and all of those things count as dirty talk.
Yeah. I love that Mad Libs component in your book where you have these, literally these fill in the blanks, and you did those exercises last night and they were really fun. That was like a really good tool from the book that everyone can just go and do.
Nice.
Okay. So let's take a break and hear from our great sponsors, including the Pleasure Chest where Tina Horn was last night. And one of the great things is that the Pleasure Chest has free sex ed classes all the time in their stores in Chicago, New York, and LA. You can go to pleasurechest.com and see the schedule of what's available. They've got rock stars. They've got their in-house sex educators. They've got lots of fun stuff. So check it out and stay with us. More with Tina Horn when we return. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off limits. Visit pleasurechest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
For years now, the Swedish-based designer brand Lilo has been at the forefront of pleasure product technology. Lilo's first product changed the way the adult industry thought about sex toy design upon its original release. With its sleek lines, its graceful shape, and its incredible performance, it was as much a piece of art as it was a pleasure product. Suddenly, Lilo had made it possible to perfectly blend form and function, and they continue to release groundbreaking products year after year. Since then, Lilo has only enhanced their reputation for quality and beauty, and now they lead the luxury industry thanks to a long heritage of innovation. Lilo is the hallmark of personal, intimate pleasure. Lilo is indulgent, sophisticated, elegant, and above all, intensely satisfying. Visit Lilo.com today to start exploring a new sensuality.
No fluff, no lies, just real women talking real sex.
I am so bruised on my girl bits.
Sex gets real.
Sex gets so real.
So real up in here.
A weekly podcast with Dawn.
I just masturbated.
And Dylan.
Let's talk about the elusive clit.
Check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and at sexgetsreal.com.
Cock rings.
Cock rings.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking today with Tina Horn, a dirty talk expert and an expert in lots of sex and technology. You know, one thing that occurs to me, Tina, is I think sometimes sexting or even sending a sexy email or an instant message can create a space for people where they're able to express some stuff that maybe they can't in person. To start out, right? Because I think that's like part of the fear is like, oh my God, I'm going to say this thing. And what if it goes, it lands wrong or it goes horribly awry or it doesn't seem to do anything. But I feel like it gives you that extra kind of confidence because you're once removed from the situation. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with it. And I am naturally, I have many skills and many flaws. Like I cannot calculate a tip at dinner, but I don't have a lot of inhibitions when it comes to language, whether it's like processing, you know, like relationship communication, kind of stuff. I can be like a litigator when it comes to that. I'm like Marcia Clark in so many ways. And then when it comes to dirty talk, it just flows out of me. Like it's just one of my like natural, innate personality traits, frankly. And so I know that for other people, stage fright is one of the most common phobias that there are, like just across the board for humanity. And that's something that I have to like conceptually wrap my mind around because I'm like,
because you're a born drama queen.
I am. I'm a ham. I need an audience. I try to have something to say and be entertaining, whether it's an audience of one or millions. Mm-hmm. So I understand that for a lot of people, being able to write something down when they don't have the pressure of someone actually staring at them can be a really useful way of actually expressing themselves. And so writing something down, typing something, I mean, increasingly we are communicating with texting on our phones or on our computers, et cetera, our watches, whatever. So as we become more comfortable communicating in that way, I think that bringing sexual communication into that as well. And you know, a friend of mine who had a look at the book when I was writing it pointed out what he saw as a contradiction, which was at one point I say that you should never sext anything that you wouldn't say or do in real life. And then in another part of the book, maybe several parts of the book, I say, if you feel more comfortable saying something first over text, you should totally go for it. And he saw that as a contradiction. And I saw that as like, well, you know, like sex and life is full of seeming contradictions, right? But I do think that those two sentiments or philosophies can coexist, because if your objective is to express something that you have some fear or anxiety about expressing, if you feel comfortable saying it with the objective of making a deeper connection, this goes back to my whole philosophy about technology and communication between humans. If your objective is deeper communication, better satisfaction, that then you can get to the point where you can say that, then I think
totally go for it. And I think that you will be delightfully surprised by the confidence that you build when you've had positive affirmation. Like, let's say I send you a text, Tristan, that says, like, I really want you to sit in my face, right? You I use that one a lot.
She used that one a lot. Last night, there's a lot of face sitting. I'm just saying. Okay, so you send me a text.
So let's pretend that it's hard for me to say that to you.
Okay.
And I say, Tristan, when you come over tonight, I would really love it if you would sit on my face, please, ma'am. But I feel a little bit shy about saying that to you in person. But then I send you that text and your response is emoji with heart eyes and lots of exploding emojis and like, fuck yes, like, get over here right now. Like, I want that so bad. Then maybe, like, when I get over, you know,
can say it.
I can say it. Or maybe you'll be like, I want you to say that to me what you said to me in text. I want you to say it to me in person, right? So what has happened there is that we've removed the question of what is this person going to think when I say this? Because you know, there it is. You know what the person is going to say.
Mm-hmm.
They like it.
Okay. But on that note, have you ever had dirty talk, sexting, Snapchat, one of these elements go awry?
That's a great question.
I need you to tell us then what happens.
I mean, the examples that I use for, you know, like counter influences, counter examples, things that have happened to me that I would say, like, this is an example of what not to do. I should have a little bit more humility and think of a time that I did something wrong, because all it is my critique of other people. but let me give an example and maybe we can riff off of this.
Okay.
I once had an OkCupid hookup, a hookup. An IRL hookup that I met on OkCupid, and we, you know, exchanged messages on OkCupid, went on a date and had sex, and it was fun and it was great. It was nothing like mind blowing, but it was great. And that was what I was looking for at the time. And that was very clear in my dating profile, which there's a whole chapter in the book about how to make a great online dating profile and also how to read and interpret other people's.
Yes. Which is very important.
Totally. And then this guy would dirty, like, sending me, like, dirty sex. This is totally when I had a smartphone. And so I would get these, like, dirty messages, like, oh, that was so hot the other night, like, when I spanked your ass or whatever. So in my mind, when I'm getting these dirty messages, I'm thinking, oh, cool, like, this is, like, the beginning of a booty call. Like, I want to get, like, I'm going to get laid again with this person, which is what I want. And so I would write back, like, oh, like, yeah, that was really hot. Like, I can't wait for you to do it again. Or, like, I really loved the way that you went down on me. Or, like, you looked so hot when, like, your dick is so fine. Like, whatever. I can't remember what I said. Insert your own dirty talk style here. And so we would go back and forth, and it would be really hot. Really got me very worked up. And then he ghosted. Like, on the dirty talk exchange. And it made me realize that it was important for me to, before I got too into the dirty talk that I assumed was foreplay leading to something, that I should have said, hey, so, like, what are you doing right now? You know, after, like, maybe, like, half a dozen back and forths or, like, 5 minutes of back and forth, if I wanted to go somewhere, that I should probably say something, because it's not necessarily, or I should say, if what you're doing when you're sexting someone is foreplay that is going to lead to meeting up IRL, then you should be transparent about that. And if what you want is a little bit of, like, hot, naughty exchange, like, personalized sexual entertainment, like, back and forth between two people in order to masturbate so that you don't even have to leave your couch, but still sort of feel like you're getting attention and customized.
So that would be like a sort of a sexting buddy, like a fuck buddy, but you never then, all you do is send each other dirty texts.
I think that that is totally great, but I think it's imperative that you're transparent about that, because I felt a little bit, like, led astray by that particular situation where there was, like, a false pretense where I thought I was going to get laid. And so I, like,
gave some like sexy attention and frankly like emotional energy to this person who really just wanted like an exchange with another human in order to jerk off. There's nothing inherently wrong with that or unethical about that, but it's good etiquette to be transparent about it, because then at the end of it, I didn't feel satisfied. I kind of felt like I'd just given a bunch of sexual labor for free, and that was not cool with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example. That was like a teaching moment or like a learning moment for me, where I realized that it was my responsibility, because that was important to me, to really be clear about which kind it is. Is it foreplay or is it like an exchange of entertainment?
Right. Right. Okay. That's a good point. That was a good story.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's take another break, hear from our great sponsors. And well, we're going to keep talking about this subject, and I'm going to call out Tina Horn. Oh yeah. Call out culture. It's right here on Sex Out Loud, people. So you do not want to go anywhere or miss this. Stay with us. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
For years now, the Swedish-based designer brand Lilo has been at the forefront of pleasure product technology. Lilo's first product changed the way the adult industry thought about sex toy design upon its original release. With its sleek lines, its graceful shape, and its incredible performance, it was as much a piece of art as it was a pleasure product. Suddenly, Lilo had made it possible to perfectly blend form and function, and they continue to release groundbreaking products year after year. Since then, Lilo has only enhanced their reputation for quality and beauty, and now they lead the luxury industry thanks to a long heritage of innovation. Lilo is the hallmark of personal, intimate pleasure. Lilo is indulgent, sophisticated, elegant, and above all, intensely satisfying. Visit Lilo.com today to start exploring a new sensuality.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I've been talking today with Tina Horn about her new book, Sexting, the grown-up's little book of sex tips for getting dirty digitally. And, you know, before the break, I teased that I was going to call out Tina. Well, here it is, Tina. Are you ready?
I hope so.
Okay. The thing I want to tell people about this book is that it's totally oodles of fun. It's super sex positive. It eschews labels, binaries, and absolutes. It's full of great advice about sexting and the perfect naked selfie and online profiles and smutty talk, all that, yes. But it's also a little deceptive. Because at the heart of it lies this deep, thoughtful rumination on sexual communication, which is something that, quite frankly, we all need more help, advice, practice, confidence in doing. This book is deceptively a cute, great gift book, you know, super bachelorette friendly, but there's some deep ideas here. And I want to say, I see them. I see what you're doing here. You can't pull the wool over my eyes on this. It occurred to me as I read it, wow, this is about sexting, but it's not about sexting. And it's about dirty talk, but it's not about dirty talk. So I just
wonder if I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you and your little dogs.
Okay, so I want you to just riff on that. What do you think of my call out of you in your book?
We should all be so lucky. For me, okay, I am naturally inclined towards the conceptual and the philosophical and the political and the abstract. And it is harder for me to condense brevity and being concise is just like not my strong suit. And it's taken me however many years to adapt to Twitter, where I feel like I can actually condense things down to a good tweet. And so the challenge for me when I was asked to write this book was, how do I take some of my bigger ideas about communication, BDSM and kink, sex work, different relationship styles, queer identities, etc., 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 and talk about them in a way that is accessible, not dumbed down, accessible, which is also good for me. And I don't want to sound like, I don't mean to sound snooty. I mean, you kind of put me in that position, but I don't mean to sound snooty like, oh, I had to like put my like big ideas in a way that like anybody could understand, but more like it was a good exercise for me to try to figure out how to break things down to what their fundamentals are, right? So like when we think about all kinds of complex sexual identities, like a lot of them can be actually broken down into concepts that a lot of people can understand. And like, for example, on my podcast, Why Are People Into That? On every episode, I have a different guest who is some kind of expert on a subject of sex, kink, gender, and love. And we talk about a fetish like spanking or butt plugs when I had you on. Or
that was a good episode, guys. You should listen to my episode.
It was really fun.
It was really fun.
And so we'll take a concept and really explore why are people into that. And the thing that has been so great about doing that show is that when each of these conversations is about an hour long, and sometimes they go to very intellectual and very abstract and very philosophical and very political places, but also, the objective for the show is always to break things down to like, it's really just about wanting love or wanting connection or wanting attention or wanting excitement or wanting, you know, like, so getting things down to the fundamentals. So that's sort of a roundabout way of saying that there was no way that I was going to write a like cute, gifty sex tip, sex rules, sex advice book without trying to sort of take my big ideas and like break them down in a way that was also useful for me. And I hope is useful for my fans and my readers.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that comes to mind, an example of this, is how you incorporate affirmative consent and enthusiastic consent.
Yeah.
You did this in your workshop last night, and you do it in the book, which is consent is sort of like a cornerstone for you. And each,
shouldn't it be?
For everyone, yes. But again, I think this is where I think we've actually fallen down.
Right.
People don't understand consent. It's tripping people up left and right.
Yeah.
We have an epidemic of sexual assault and abuse and coercion and all the shit that's going on college campuses around America tells us that actually people don't get it.
No, they really do not.
Right? And so you've incorporated consent in these really clear ways, which is like every scenario you imagine always begins with, hey, let's get consent to even sext. Let's get consent to say the words we all want to hear and then and don't say the words we don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And so that's where I feel like this is where sex education has to go. And this is why young people need more than this weird condom demonstration on a banana,
right?
And otherwise scary images of what STIs do to your genitals, right? I mean, that's like what they're getting.
Or like watching a video of an abortion.
Right, right.
Yeah.
To me, like they need a guide like this, cool, which says, how do we have these conversations?
Right.
And how do we establish consent? And then how do we keep getting that consent? And how do we keep knowing we're on the right track and we're going in the right direction and we're all kind of getting what we want out of this exchange? I feel like there's some real fundamentals in there underneath, you know, the specifics of how to send a sexy sext.
Well, I really appreciate that, Tristan. I mean, the thing is that there's just no way that I am going to write a book about sex that doesn't bring in a sensibility about enthusiastic consent and that doesn't bring in a sensibility about kink and BDSM desire and community and culture and queer identity and culture. I mean, that's like shot through with who I am. And I will credit Quiver, my publisher, for being very open to me doing that in a way that is inclusive. Like, mm-hmm. I would, it was great to work with a publisher who who trusted me that when I said that I could write a book that included all of those things that are maybe a little bit more niche
or edgy
exactly.
On the margins.
But do it in a way that I really believe that any person of any gender identity, any lifestyle, could pick up this book and relate to it. And maybe you're going to have to do a little bit of adjusting. And one thing that is really great about the book is that they totally let me switch pronouns all the time. Mm-hmm, so in some of my examples, it'll clearly be like I'm talking about two women. And in some examples, it'll be clearly that I'm talking about two men. Sometimes it's clearly straight. And sometimes they let me use gender neutral pronouns in certain instances as well. So that may be a little bit of an adjustment for some people, but I hope that that's an adjustment that they're ready to start making, because that's the future.
You have this discussion at one point about language and about, you know, what do we like our genitals to be called?
Totally.
Because often when we're talking dirty, we're talking about our genitals.
Sure.
And you had some really good examples of like why people like certain words and don't like other words and how it can be radically different, you know, from person to person, right?
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that there's often a lot of discussion, and you've certainly learned this from being in queer and trans community. There's often discussion about like trans folks, non-gender binary folks,
totally,
gender nonconforming folks, what do they like their genitals to be called? And we want to use affirming words and we want to be respectful and all that stuff.
Exactly.
But truthfully, when you start to talk about that in the book, it's very clear that actually, I think that's a red herring. I think this idea that we have to, that trans people have to have some special discussion, actually everyone does.
I totally agree.
Everyone has different relationships with their genitals. Everyone has different ideas about what their genitals mean, how they want them sort of addressed or objectified or sexualized. And so this is an issue for everyone across the board. Am I right?
I totally agree. And I would say that my background in as a BDSM professional and also a like kinky pervert in real life, IRL, that ideas of what kind of language is degrading or humiliating also is something that I have a lot of experience in. So like, for example, like, so we were talking about affirming language and also like turn on language for body parts, but like, let's talk about identities, right? So like, the example I often give is that I love to be called a slut in bed. Slut is my buzzword. You can use it over and over and over again. Slut, 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 slut until I come, and then like call me a slut when we are eating ice cream in bed afterwards. Like, I'm all about that. It turns me on. It makes me feel seen as being like a super sexy person. It's dirty. It's taboo. It's nasty. Like, I love it. If I'm walking down Santa Monica Boulevard and someone is like, hey, slut, I like your sandals or whatever, then you best believe that I'm going to turn around and like read that person their rights, or depending on how I'm feeling in that moment, continue walking and completely ignore that person and not feed them or give them any attention, because that's unconsensual, right? So mm-hmm. The word slut is not inherently degrading, but because I am a woman, I'm a cisgender woman, and I live in a fucking patriarchal and super fucking sexist society full of horrible devil standards, I do have a lot of fear and anxiety that I have to live with all the time around those words. And because of, not despite that, certain words are charged with a taboo, that it is affirming and healing, not to mention also hot, to reclaim sexually. So that is an amazing thing that I've learned through all of my experiences in kink and BDSM. But to bring it back to this particular point, that's not just true for kinky people, right? So like the word whore, the word bitch, the word slut, just to talk about like words that are like often that are often weaponized against mm-hmm. women mm-hmm. or like people perceived to be feminine or people who are feminine or that are like meant to be emasculating. If those words have been used to oppress you, then those words are yours to reclaim and turn into sex toys. And that is one of the most powerful and exciting and transformative and magical thing about language. And the more that we think about what our personal style is when it comes to language, the more that we just, I think, naturally are equipped to understand how to use that. And when you have that experience sexually, I think it also liberates the way that you think about language outside the bedroom, outside the dungeon, when you're on the street.
A perfect way to wrap it all up, Tina Horn. Always a showbiz professional. Always. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Everyone, go get this book, Sexting, the Grown-Up's Little Book of Sex Tips for Getting Dirty Digitally, published by Quiver Press. And remember, you can listen to Tina Horn on the regular because she's the host of the podcast, Why Are People Into That? So find out more about all of this at tinahorn.net and whyarepeopleintothat.com. You can also follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Tina Horn's Ass. Love it. Okay, I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when I'll have another incredible guest. I don't know, someone who's a better dirty talker than Tina Horn? Maybe not. But still, someone who's going to make you think and hopefully talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.